Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors. Welcome to the PI World 2020 Roundup of the Year. And today we're with Mark Slater, Chairman and CIO at Slater Investments, following on from our last interview back in July. So, Mark, how did the year pan out for the fund and what's its performance year to date?
Well, it's been a pretty eventful year. We were happy with the way the fund behaved. It was relatively defensive when things were very difficult a few months back. And we're ending the year quite well. So at the moment, we're not quite at the end of the year, but we're showing roughly a 9% positive return. And our benchmark, the all-share total return index, is down 9%. So we're about 18% ahead of our benchmark, which we're happy with.
And mid-COVID, what did you go down to? What was the drawdown in the worst of it?
I think the very worst was the one point when the markets were being very indiscriminate. Markets were down 20-something percent, and we were a few percentage points less. And then very soon, within a month or so, that gap began to grow. The market remained down 20%, and we were quite quickly 10 points better than that or more. And then as time has gone on, that gap's grown steadily since.
So quite an amazing recovery. So what were the main contributors? What sort of really went very well this year and performed absolutely according to the strategy and the reason that you bought in?
We had quite a lot of companies that were not particularly affected by COVID. We had a fair number that are affected, by the way, you know, either mainly temporarily. I would say the standout performer for us this year, it's our second biggest holding early in the year, is a company called Codemasters, which is a gaming company, you know, video games. And it's a bit of a quirk in the sense that it was originally an IPO, which we don't normally like IPOs. We very rarely like IPOs. But we took a fairly big position when it floated 2 years ago. It actually very quickly went to quite a big discount to what we paid, and we actually bought a lot more. Then we significantly increased our position again in the back end of 2019. So we became the company's biggest shareholder. Everything we hoped to happen has happened in the sense that operationally they've done very well. From a COVID perspective, they probably had a net. There were some disbenefits. You know, they have the Formula One rights, and the Formula One season was delayed. There were one or two other issues of that kind. But the very positive aspect of COVID for them was that an awful lot of people had time on their hands and started to play their games. And also digital adoption, which is very margin accretive, was accelerated. So when we bought the business, that digital, the rise in digital revenues or something was very much our part of our rationale. Clearly, we didn't know COVID was coming. So it's happened a little bit quicker. We also knew it was a pretty unique property in a world where there are a lot of very big companies in their space looking to buy content. They're very, very, very good at driving games. That's what they do. And for a really big player to be serious, they need to have a driving franchise. That was part of our original rationale. And so was the general backcloth of growth in the industry. What we weren't expecting, perhaps quite so quickly, was a takeover bid, which happened very recently, followed then by a counter bid from a bigger company. That's accelerated the re-rating process, obviously. And one of those bids will succeed. We don't yet know. There could even be another counter bid. We don't know. But it's been a very successful investment for us this year from the point of view of contribution to returns. It's the biggest contributor this year for us. And it has played out broadly as we would have anticipated, although the timing is a little bit different, and obviously COVID had an impact as well. But broadly speaking, our thesis has been proven to be correct.
And you sold some of your stake before the counterbid came in. What was your rationale for that?
We sold a tiny bit. I mean, we owned over 10% of the company. It became a, it was about, at one point, it got up to about 6.5% of our fund, and we just took 10% of that off. So it was just risk control. There was nothing more than that. The shares had gone up a lot prior to the first bid. To put it in context, we paid £2 a share. We increased our holding at around £1.50, £1.60, £1.70. And then we doubled the whole holding again at about £2.50 a share. So our average is around £2.20, £2.30, that sort of thing. And when the shares were just over £4, we just took a little bit off the top.
Superb execution. And what didn't go so well this year, and what did you learn from it?
It's an interesting question, because we've had going back a few months, that we have a small number of holdings in the portfolio which were very directly affected by COVID. And then we've got another chunk which are clearly affected, but it's obviously temporary. And then there's another chunk, which I've already said, where they weren't really affected at all, or at least net, they weren't particularly affected. The companies in the most difficult category, it's interesting, because had you asked me this question a few months ago, I might have had a slightly different answer, but I can't really look at any one of them and think I've made a big mistake. Obviously, you know, some of them have cost us money, although they've recovered very quickly since the vaccine news, some of these companies. But I don't think they're a particular error. It just happened to be that COVID was a sort of disease that affected them rather than another company. So I think the learnings this year are more around how to behave in a crisis. It's a more generic sort of big picture issue. And I think there are a number of lessons, none of which are particularly new or revolutionary, but they're really important. I think one is that in a crisis, you shouldn't panic. and we didn't, by the way. So that isn't a lesson we have learned, but there's a reminder, you know, back in March, things looked pretty awful. And even companies that were very badly affected by COVID are now showing clear signs of recovery in the vast majority of cases. And two, not only should one not panic, but one should try and take advantage of it. And again, we did that as well. Looking back, there's certainly more I wish we'd done. I'm sure everyone is in that position, but we've been here before. The same was in 08, 09. You know, we did quite a lot, and we were happy with what we did, but you can always do more. So I think that's the key learning, really, that, you know, in a crisis, you should look to take advantage of it fairly aggressively. Looking back, I think we could have been more aggressive.
And looking forward to 2021, what are your views? What do you think the investing picture is going to look like?
Well, I think the UK is a very particular market and has been for the last few years, and that's where I focus. So if you go back to 2016, 2017, you had two major issues that terrified investors and led to tens of billions leaving the UK equity market. You had the referendum and Brexit and all the uncertainty around that. And you had the threat of a Marxist government, which was really, really came to the fore at the election of 2017. So those two things were hugely off-putting to a lot of people. It was interesting in 2019 that, you know, our strategy is about growth businesses. We don't seek out takeover bids. They happen, but we don't seek them out. And in a normal year, we have one or two. So say 1.5 on average. And in 2019, we had 7. So clearly a lot more than usual. And our view at the beginning of 2020 was that would continue very aggressively. Now, because the UK was on sale in 2019, and that was even before the resolution of the election in December 2019, and still before the resolution of Brexit. So foreign buyers were taking a view quite aggressively that UK companies were cheap. So our view, that would have continued. And of course, COVID came along and that threw a spanner in the works. In the last month, we've had three takeover bids in our portfolio. Again, mainly foreign buyers, with one exception. So I think that trend will continue. I still believe the UK is on sale. Compared with most international markets, even compared with European markets, which have also been left behind. I think, you know, you've now got a resolution of the Marxist government risk. That's gone. We're on the brink of some sort of resolution on Brexit. And my personal view is, whatever the resolution, whatever form it takes, it will be an answer. And that's what investors want. They just want to know what they're dealing with. Then they, same with companies. You know, you know it. Once you know what you have to do, you do it. But until you know, it's very unsettling. So we're on the brink of both of these issues being resolved. And I think that will lead to a fairly substantial amount of money coming back into the UK market. We've already seen a hint of that in the last little while, in the last month or two. We've seen in terms of flows that there are signs of that happening. So I think that will be very bullish. You know, valuations are not cheap. They were clearly a lot cheaper a little while back. But I think certainly on a relative basis, the UK is very attractive. On an absolute basis, given free money, given the wave of liquidity sort of sloshing about the system, that's still very supportive. The big question is, one day that'll come to an end. You know, one day money will cost more. That could be a very long way away. It could start to change sooner. And that, I have no idea. I don't have a view. But right now, I think the UK, compared with most other markets, looks very attractive.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was some wonderful information. Just tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and about the fund.
Well, we have a website, slaterinvestments.com. That's probably the best starting point. And there's a lot of information there about what we do and how to go about buying our funds if people are interested.
Superb. Thank you very much. And you'll find more interviews in this 2020 Roundup series at piworld.co.uk. Wishing you all a very happy and prosperous 2021.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.